Gary Whalen, and I'm a publisher at Intermedia Publishing Group, author of the book Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams, and I'm calling from Scottsdale, Arizona here, and I'd like to welcome you to this event that we're going to talk to Sandra Beckwith tonight about how to develop book buzz and how to get buzz going for our book. So I think it's going to be a very exciting evening here and all the information that we're going to get during this time that we're together. First of all, here I'd like to introduce Sandra. Sandra Beckwith is a recovering publicist with more than 25 years of award-winning publicity experience. She doesn't provide publicity services to authors anymore, though. Instead, she teaches them how to do it themselves through her workshops, one-on-one coaching, and books on publicity. She teaches the popular e-course for authors, Book Publicity 101, How to Build Book Buzz, and publishes a free book promotion e-zine for authors that I recommend you subscribe to if you don't already. You can subscribe at www.buildbookbuzz.com. Sandra is the author of two publicity books. One is for small businesses and the other is for nonprofits. She also created a book publicity workbook for authors that we'll talk about a little later. Sandra is also the author of a popular humor book called Why Can't a Man Be More Like a Woman? To promote her own books, Sandra has been interviewed by hundreds of media outlets, including national TV talk shows such as the CBS Early Show, most major daily newspapers, including the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, local and nationally syndicated radio programs and consumer magazines. Sandy, welcome to the call.
Thanks, Terry. I'm really happy to be here. I think we're going to have a fun and informative hour.
Well, yeah, we had more than 200 people ask questions, which is always a good sign when people are interested enough to sign up and ask a question. And so what we're really going to be doing tonight is going through a lot of those questions. There are way more questions than we could ever get done during the 60 minutes that we're going to do this together, but we'll give it our best shot, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of information that you're going to give to people so that they can get that buzz going for their books. Well, let's start with that. What is buzz? How do you define that even?
You know, that's actually a great question. I define buzz as two levels. First level is media exposure. That free publicity that you can get in the media, whether we're talking offline or online media, that news exposure that you can get without paying for it. So first it's publicity, and second it's that promotional sort of work that you can do through social networking, through doing certain kinds of activities online, that sort of thing. What I don't think of, I know although some do, what I don't think of is really the advertising side of things. When I work with authors, I teach them how to get publicity and how to promote their books. I don't teach them the advertising side of things because I'm all about doing this in the most cost-effective way possible. And advertising is not usually the most cost-effective way. So I keep advertising out of the picture. And that's, you know, probably as you know already, Terry, that's how I'll approach this tonight. I won't say buy an ad here, buy an ad there. I'll focus on how you can really get media exposure and online exposure through really cost-effective tools and techniques and tactics.
Well, that really sounds great because, as you probably know, a lot of the questions tonight are looking for cost-effective kind of ways that they can really be able to extend their reach and people talking about their books. Now, does buzz mean to you that people are talking about it over and over, or what extent does that mean?
You know, actually, that's a great question. Many times when authors are talking about buzz or even any kind of exposure for their book, they think in terms of the book launch, and they think even more specifically in terms of book reviews. So when you've got that mindset, buzz is really book reviews, and maybe a news mention here and there that your book is out, whether it's a review or not. When I talk about buzz, I talk about ongoing repeat exposure in the media and online for your book so that it's out there constantly. It's repetitious. You're repeating your messages. You're getting your title out there more and more over time, not just when the book is new, but for months and even years after the book is new. And it is very, very doable.
Now, when people hear that title over and over, what does that cause them to do? Ultimately, you're looking for them to go buy the book, right?
Yeah, and one thing it helps them do is remember the name of the book. You know, the older you get, the harder it is to remember these things. You know, which and a tip along those lines is because of that, that's why print media is so valuable. You know, traditional print media, getting into your daily newspaper, because people can tear it out and save it. And they don't have to worry about remembering the book title. And they don't have to be, you know, find a piece of paper to write it down. You get into print media outlets or even online where people can print it. That, you know, that helps with that memory factor. But part of it is that repetition that helps you remember the title. The other part of it is that it reminds you that that book scratches one of your itches. In other words, you think, oh, gosh, I heard about that before, and I meant to look into that. I'm glad I heard that book title again, because I've really got to explore that. So, you know, it's all about constantly reminding people that your book can meet a need or solve a problem, whether it's, you know, entertainment through fiction or, you know, help through nonfiction.
Now, when you're talking about print media there, is that newspapers of any size? I mean, your own material's been in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, but not everybody can get in those publications, right?
Exactly. And you know, Terry, I have had the greatest response, actually, when I or my book or whatever has been featured in my own local weekly newspaper. People love their weekly, their hometown newspaper. The dailies are great, too, but people love that weekly paper because it's all about their community. It's, you know, it's kind of small-town news. It's very, very focused on a small geographic area. Chances are somebody reads about you and they live a few blocks away and they think, wow, gosh, I'm going to have to look into that book. That woman lives a couple blocks from me. The other part of that is, weekly newspapers are hungrier for content than other types of media outlets are. So they are more responsive to our pitches, and they are definitely more interested, probably than any other type of media outlet, in the fact that a community member has just written a book. So it's really kind of interesting. Yeah, the New York Times is great, but seriously, I've gotten the most feedback when I've just been with my new book out, profiled in my community weekly paper.
And everybody's focused on those big publications because they think that's huge. But that's a great tip to focus on your local paper. So if I was going to do that, how do I do that as an author?
You know, good question. Let me add one thing to that before I answer that, because you've just touched on a sort of a key point that I always teach authors who take my course. Start with your local media first for a couple of reasons. First of all, you want to start with your local media because it's your easiest sell. And as I've just noted, if you've got a weekly community paper, that'll be your totally easiest sell. So you start locally because they are going to be most interested in the fact that you've written a book about, you know, whatever you've written about. The second reason you want to start locally is that doing these interviews on a more local level where you're reaching fewer numbers of people allows you to kind of learn the process, learn what kinds of story angles or ideas resonate with the media, learning how to frame your messages in a way that the messages get picked up, learning how to do interviews when you don't have as much on the line. I wouldn't want my first telephone interview with a newspaper journalist to be the New York Times. I'd rather have it be with my backyard paper, the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, the Daily. Yeah, because if I screw up, it won't have as big an impact. So I like to start locally to get the bugs out and then kind of expand in sort of concentric, either geographic or target audience circles from my local media. So, okay, so that's why I like to start local. But then you've asked, so how do you go about, say, getting into your weekly newspaper? Best way to do that, particularly with the weekly, is to send email works great, and just find your local reporter. My own community weekly has a reporter assigned specifically to my town, Fairport, New York, And I would send her an email and say, hey, Denise, because that's her name, Denise Champagne. Hey, Denise, I thought you'd be interested. You and your readers would like to know that I've just written a new book. Here's what it's about. I've pasted an announcement press release below my message here. Here's why I think your readers would be interested in knowing about this book. I'd love to do an interview with you. You know, I'm available all next week. Is this something you'd be interested in? It can literally be as simple as a quick email and paste it into the bottom of the email is your book announcement press release so that that journalist can learn more about your book and its content and that sort of thing.
Now, do you follow up with that person, or what do you do? How persistent are you, I guess, is what I mean.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I tell you, Terry, after years of being a publicist, you learn that there's really a fine line between following up and being a stalker.
Uh-huh.
And you really, you know, and you gotta find that fine line, and it takes practice. But from my standpoint, what I would do in this situation, and probably in most situations, I'd probably follow up once by email, and then I'd follow up the next time by telephone, and then I'd drop it. I will say, however, that I had a situation once where I don't even remember how many years ago, I introduced a newsletter, a humorous newsletter called The Doolittle Report that takes a lighthearted look at male behavior. And I announced this newsletter to a national media audience by sending out a press release in the first 8-page issue. And this was in the days before email, if we can imagine that, when we used to print things, you know, and we used to use stamps and envelopes. And I sent it out to a national media list and a local media list, including my local daily newspaper. I was in USA Today twice. I was on the front page of the second section of the Wall Street Journal. I was doing 20 radio interviews a day for a couple of weeks. I mean, this thing exploded to the point where I won a national publicity award for it. But point is, my local newspaper still had done nothing. And I was sort of uncomfortable with that. I thought, you know, you guys look goofy. Here I am, you know, a huge feature with my photo in USA Today, my photo next to John Gray, who's talking about my newsletter and telling me how much he loves it, and my local newspaper has done nothing. So I sent a couple of those clippings with another press release and a copy of the newsletter to my local newspaper and said, you know, I don't want to be overbearing, but I think since the national media has picked up on this, it would, you know, be in your best interest to pick up on it too, because my neighbors are reading it in the Wall Street Journal and they're not reading it locally and they're asking me about this. So I did get a phone call with an apology immediately, and then the paper ran a really nice feature.
What a great
story.
Yeah,
that's probably a little obnoxious, but it worked.
Well, and I mean, we're focused right here with our local newspaper on new books, but not every book is new. Does it have to be new?
No, doesn't at all. I'm still promoting books that I wrote years ago, and I teach my authors how to do that too. So it's not like I say that only because it's not unique to me. One of the tools that I find is incredibly helpful in terms of keeping a book in the news is a type of press release called a tip sheet. And a tip sheet is a press release that offers advice or tips in a bulleted or numbered format. And you can pull tip sheets out of any type of book, whether it's a memoir, a mystery, or a nonfiction book. What you do is, you start it out by setting up a problem, a general problem that, you know, people in the community have,
mm-hmm.
and then based on the research from your book, you offer tips and advice on how to solve the problem. So for example, here's just an example. One of my books is Publicity for Nonprofits, and in the book I have advice on how to write op-eds, which are those opinion essays that appear, you know, on the op-ed pages of a newspaper or, you know, in a magazine, something like that. But they're opinion essays that are designed to influence people or motivate change, that sort of thing. So I offer advice in the book on how to write op-eds. So what I have done, just as an example, is I've taken that advice and I've turned it into a tip sheet that says, basically,